Hello friends, welcome to V-School. We are on the final chapter of this book, chapter 33 on ratio analysis. In the previous chapter, we talked about annual report. Annual report will give the numbers, and we have seen numbers don't lie. But when we talk in terms of ratio analysis, it goes one step further. It helps you to dissect the company and understand it from various angles, various functions, various operations, its future outlook, etc., etc. You not only can understand about a company in which you want to invest, but you can compare it with similar companies in the same industry. So it's a beautiful benchmarking tool for helping you to analyze within the company as well as compare it with similar companies in the same industry. This chapter teaches you the importance of ratio analysis. It will also explain the various ratios that help determine the financial position of the company. So let us go step by step. The first step, what are the ratios? The ratios really put figures into perspectives. It is difficult to see how a company is doing just by looking at the numbers. However, ratios express a relationship between one figure and another and helps us to bring out some meaning out of it. The ratio summarizes the figures in the form that is easily understood and interpreted and used. To interpret the ratios properly, we must ensure that the ratios being measured are consistent and valid. The usefulness of ratios is entirely dependent on their intelligent and skillful interpretation, and hence different experts can have different opinions about it based on the standards they apply for a particular ratio. Ratio analysis are useful for analysis of financial statement. They help the analyst to analyze the performance of a company and compare it with that of other similar companies. It helps the analyst to determine the relative weaknesses and strengths of a company, whether it is profitable, financially sound, and whether its condition is improving or deteriorating. It helps the analyst to fulfill the needs of those in knowing a company's financial position. So these are the various usefulness of ratio analysis. Many ratios that are used for analysis can be listed, but anyone can invent a new ratio to understand a particular aspect of a company. Although there are many ratios that are used for analysis to microscopically examine the performance and future potential of companies. However, for the sake of simplicity, we learn only those ratios which are of importance to investors in this chapter. So whatever ratios are expressed, that is not an exhaustive list. However, an attempt is made to bring out important ratios, maintain the simplicity, and make its usefulness for interpreting the functioning of the company, the growth of the company, the development of the company. So ratios we are going to understand are the market value, the earnings, the leverage or gearing, the debt service capacity, the profitability, the liquidity, the asset management efficiency, and finally we'll see the limitations. The first, the market value. Market value indicates the reputation of a company in financial circles and the length of time it will take for the investment to be recouped. It gives the company's management an idea of what the investors and financial experts think of the company's past performance and the future prospects. If a firm's liquidity, asset management, debt management, profit ratios are high, then its market value ratios and stock price will also be high. So this aspect of a company can easily be ascertained with the help of the market value ratios. The first ratio, price earning ratio, popularly known as the P ratio. The price earning ratio is arrived by dividing the market price per share by the dividend per share. Usually the price earnings ratio of long, well-established and financially sound companies are very high. In weaker ones, as the returns commensurate with the risk are higher, the price earning ratio is low. The market to book ratio. The market to book ratio indicates the value investors place on the company. The market to book ratio is equal to market price per share divided by the book value per share. The market value ratios can be misleading because in a boom period, the ratio may be high, while in a depression, they may be low. Their importance to investors is those of limited value, as they do not reveal the profitability or efficiency of a company, but merely indicates the company's reputation in the marketplace. Next part is the earnings. The earnings ratio, with its variation, indicates the earnings available per ordinary share. It's an indicator which enables investors and shareholders to judge the earnings per share of a company and is often considered as an indicator of profitability. The earnings per share shows an investor the earnings attributable to an ordinary share in a year. Earnings per share can be calculated by dividing the income attributable to ordinary share by the weighted average of ordinary share. So earnings per share is equal to income attributable to ordinary share divided by the weighted average of ordinary share. The earnings per share ratio has been criticized as a measure of profitability on the argument that it does not consider the amount of assets, the finance or capital required to generate a particular amount of income. Next important ratio is the dividend payout ratio. The dividend payout ratio shows the amount of dividend paid out of earnings. It gives an indication of the amount of profit put back in the company and is an important ratio when assessing the long-term prospects of the company. The dividend ratio, payout ratio, can be calculated by dividing the dividends by the net income. The next important aspect to look with the help of ratios is the leverage or the gearing. The leverage or the gearing or the coverage, as it's sometimes called, is a term used to describe the extent of the assets covered by the liabilities. The leverage indicates the level of financial risk which is borne in addition to the business risk. If a company is very dependent on the borrowed funds, profits will be high during a good year. In a bad year, they will be low and could be even at a loss. Highly leveraged company can afford less reduction in the asset values at the time of liquidation. Next important ratio is liability to asset ratio. The liability to asset ratio indicates the total funds provided by the creditors to the business. The extent in the form is financed by persons or entities other than the shareholders. The liability to asset ratio can be calculated by dividing the total liabilities by the total assets. The leverage ratio indicates whether a company has overborrowed, whether it has the capacity to obtain additional funds, and the effects on the profits of leverage. Next important ratio is the debt to net worth ratio. The debt to net worth ratio indicates the extent a company is financed by outside or the borrowed funds. The debt to net worth ratio can be calculated by dividing the debt to the net worth by the net worth. Other leverage ratios, the liabilities to net worth ratio measures the extent the company is financed by liabilities. The incremental leverage ratio measures the additional gearing required to finance the growth of the company. Next important ratio is the debt service capacity. The basic assumption in the debt capacity ratio is that a company is going concern and that the debt will be repaid out of the internally generated funds and not from the sale of assets or additional borrowings. The ratios therefore indicate the relationships between the cash flow, which are internally generated funds, and the company's liabilities. The debt service ratios are important to determine whether the company has the capacity or ability to service its debts and repay its liabilities. The debt coverage ratio indicates the time it would take for a company to repay its short and long-term debt from the internally generated funds or profits. Debt coverage ratio can be calculated by dividing the internally generated funds by the average debt. The liability coverage ratio is used to determine the time a company would take to buy to pay off all its liabilities from internally generated funds. The liability coverage ratio is susceptible to window dressing, as liabilities on the balance sheet date can be reduced either by paying them or by suppressing them. Next, we look at the interest cover, a ratio of prime importance. It measures whether a company has adequate profits to meet the interest payments on its obligations. The ratio is more important as it checks whether the profit of a company are sufficient to meet its interest commitments. Next comes another important ratio, the profitability ratios. The profitability ratios indicate a company's profitability in relation to that of other companies within the industry, to previous years, to other companies in other industries, and provides a measure of the management's effectiveness as shown by the returns generated through sales and investments. These ratios must be considered in relation to the rates of inflation and the cost of capital and the borrowings. The trends in ratios should be evaluated as possible indications of the future developments. Yet another ratio, the return on total asset ratio, popularly known as the ROTA. The return on total asset ratio allows one to determine whether the margin earned on the sale is reasonable. The assets of the company are adequate and effectively used. The interest payments made by the company are too high. The investor must determine whether the return is adequate. Like ROTA, ROCE is also an important ratio. The return on common equity ratio is popularly known as the ROCE. The return on common equity measures the ratio of return to shareholders on their investments. It enables one to check whether the return on investment is better than other alternatives available. The profitability ratios are amongst the most important group of ratios that must always be examined in depth. All the changes in these ratios must be looked into, as this can indicate a long-term result of the company. Next important ratios are the liquidity ratios. One of the first thing a person needs to know about a company is whether it can pay its currently maturing financial obligations as well as having enough cash to meet its operational requirement. If a company cannot, it may be forced to sell its most important assets at a loss and in extreme case go into liquidation. Most common measure of liquidity is the current ratio. How is the current ratio calculated? The current ratio is calculated by dividing the current assets by the current liabilities. Ideally, the ratio should be around 2:1. The quick or the asset test ratio is applied to examine whether a company has adequate cash or cash equivalents to meet its current obligations without having to resort to liquidating non-cash assets such as the stock. The ratio should ideally be 1:1. Yet another important ratio is the asset management and efficiency. The asset management efficiency ratio are calculated to consider how effective a company is managing its assets. It allows one to consider and examine whether the total amount of each type of asset of a company is reasonable, too high or too low in the light of current and forecasted operating needs. It can be used to assess the trends and the efficiency with which the management of the company utilizes its assets. The stock turnover ratio measures the number of times stock is turned over in a year, the quantum of stock held to support the sales, and enables one to determine whether the company holds excessive stocks. The average collection period represents the length of time a company must wait for making a sale before it actually receives cash from its customers, and assesses the effectiveness of a credit administrator and the demand for the company's products. There are certain limitations also in ratio analysis. Ratio analysis provides an indication of the company's profitability, liquidity, leverage, and solvency. But ratios do not provide answers. They are merely a guide for management and others to The understand the areas of a company's weakness and strengths. Many firms are very diversified and engaged in a number of different activities. This makes it difficult to develop a meaningful set of averages in order to compare the performances. A ratio can be purposely distorted by a company to make it look better than it actually is. It is difficult to use ratios to compare the companies because they are often following different accounting principles. So friends, we have reached the conclusion part of this chapter. Prior to the ratios being computed, one must examine the financial statement and their accompanying notes and ensure that in comparing performance and strengths, adjustments are made for variations from one year to the next. When interpreting ratios, one should be aware of the factors that affect the company, such as its management, policy, the industry, general business conditions, and the state of the company. Otherwise, the conclusion arrived could be incorrect. In order to state whether the ratio is good or bad, it must be interpreted intelligently. It is incorrect to pass judgment on a company by looking at only one set of ratios. The ratios need to be seen together to obtain a true picture of how a company is performing. So happy investing, and thank you.